Okay.
You from New Orleans?
I am. I'm from New Orleans. My whole family is pretty much based in Gentilly.
Really? What's their last name?
Bagnaris.
Oh, okay. That's your uncle?
Yeah.
Running?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had two brothers or something? Or three?
Yeah, so.
And a sister?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in, 72? He would work with Dutch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's my people, and you know, for the most part, everybody is maybe 5 to 10 minutes away from each other. Mm-hmm. We're all located out there in Gentilly, and so I went to New York for college, mm-hmm. and then I was in Nashville for a few years for grad school, and okay. now I'm back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you finished getting your doctor's and.
Well, I was going to say, I'm getting it in English Lit, so that I can be an English professor one day.
Oh, okay. My friend is an English teacher.
Uh-huh.
She wrote a paper way back in high school, and it came up to $34,000. When she got out of college, they read it and did it for it. She is good. She is excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to be paying for school for a long time, mm-hmm. but it's all right. It was well worth it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You don't have that. Stay home, save your money.
Mm-hmm.
Do like you have an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Take the money you would pay a light bill, take the money you will pay for a water bill, invest.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose it, you're going to lose it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get your telephone and the rest of the money you save.
Right.
And save for a down payment on an apartment house or something like mm-hmm. that, a double. Yeah. You don't want to run and get a single right now.
Right.
You go get the double,
mm-hmm.
and invest, keep investing in all different kind of commodities, because you know, you can take and lose that money because the electric bill, you lost it anyway.
Right.
You have no benefit no more than that, but you just invest it in some kind of commodities. Take a chance.
Right.
And build that money up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I plan to do, plans for the next couple of years, saving, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can buy something in a few years.
Mm-hmm. That's what I told my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
She wanted to get a car. And she was in school. And she was working at the rental car place. And she could take any one of them cars home she wanted. Mm-hmm. Why to buy a car to pay that kind of rent? She come home, good thing I was home. Mom, look at my car. It's red and stuff like this. Your car. Yeah. I said, oh, okay. I said, how much is it? Oh, well, you see, it's going to be $200 and some. This is back there in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be $200 and some. And la, la, la. And I said, well, what about the insurance? And then she said, she went on. I said, you can't afford this car. No way.
Right.
The dealership was right there, Tulane, mm-hmm. and Carrollton. She went one way. I came right on up here and was fussing. Mm-hmm. Fussed at the man, told him, you got this bad girl here buying this car. You don't know if she gonna lose it. She gonna lose some money and all of this stuff here because she won't be able to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
She gonna be struggling. Yeah, she gonna pay, a lot of them pay for 6 months, but then if something happens, it falls down.
Right.
No, she can't have this. He said, just tell her to come on, bring the car back. Just bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too sure. I went down there and talked to my brother. Or I know him. If he says he's gonna do it, he's gonna do it. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know my father had signed for her to come.
Okay.
course. But then the next morning, right here at 8 o'clock, I'm there. Got in there. Here's the call. She said it was the most embarrassing time in her life.
Oh.
It's all right. So I told her, I said, look, Carla, look, take this money and invest it. Go and buy a old place. Mm-hmm. She said, she went all up and down the street this way, that place looking. She all looking for a double. Mm. And the double she found was out behind the airport.
Mm.
What it was, $26,000 that she paid for the car. I mean, say the double.
Mm-hmm.
3 bedrooms on one side, and 2 on that side, 2 bathrooms, 1 bathroom over here. Yes, she got it.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Everybody wanted that. They didn't know that house went for that cheap. It
right.
was $60,000 the house was worth over there.
Mm.
And the bank and the attorneys, neither one of them caught the thing. If I had known that, she'd have been rich because we could have invested that for the whole week. Because they was trying to get in contact with her once they found out that, it was 2 weeks, I think, before they found out what was going on,
right.
that she had the money, all the money. It was written up the wrong way.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. But that's, and then she invested in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then after that, she had a Bible store.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But
nice.
That went through. She was the one that really paid more money in this little place over there off from Pennies.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bribe Emporia.
Okay.
Next to Crazy Johnny's.
I have
18th Street. Yes.
All right. Well, talk to me about the recipes that you chose for your contribution.
I chose mayonnaise, bread pudding, and cheese ball, and chicken salad. Well, I didn't do chicken salad.
You make your own mayonnaise?
At times I do.
Okay.
I have a recipe. Most people back in the day before in the early 40s,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have, early 40s, they didn't buy chalk mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
And so Blue Plate come along and they were making the mayonnaise, but most people on Friday, they made their own mayonnaise.
Okay.
And it's very simple. So you do the dry ingredients together.
Mm-hmm.
You may tell me about them. Then.
I mean, sure. Or I was going to say, you can just tell me, you know, what made you choose those, or you can go back a little further and talk about what it was like, say, growing up in your own house, who did the cooking, who taught you to cook, if anybody, you know?
Oh, my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
We were little, and my parents worked 12 hours a day.
Okay.
Most people worked 12 hours a day. You had to be on the job for 12 hours, but you had to get there. So that means that you either need 13 or 14 hours away from the children.
Okay.
So when we were small, that they had to work. And with them working here in New Orleans, my grandmother lived in St. Francisville. And she kept us until we were old enough to go to nursery school.
Okay.
And from nursery school, but while I was there, she would be doing the cooking, and she cooked for nearly everybody around there.
Mm-hmm.
She cooked, she baked cakes, pies, and all biscuits and all cornbread and stuff like that. She canned vegetables, fruits, fish, meats, she smoked the meats. Because when I was little, there's a house away from the house that it was a big room where they had shelves around the wall, and then they had hanging meat, and then they had meat in a barrel. I think that could have been pickled, and smoked, and all that was up hanging up and around. Vegetables was in jars. She painted, you know. So she would let us peel the potato with a spoon, scrape the potato with the spoon, and then also she let us bite a piece. So you know the taste of the potato. And it wasn't bad. And I learned to eat turnips, raw turnips, raw beets, all of that stuff that was good for the area. She did most of the canning and for the people around, the white folks. White folks, most of the white folks would come and sit there and let her, in fact, bring in vegetables and stuff so she could cook and enjoy it, and they'll come pick it up.
Had she ever worked as a cook, or like what did she get
into? No, she was at her house.
Just her house?
It was her house. They brought it to the house. And she had this big barrel thing outside that like you wash clothes in. And she cooked in that, and then she had a big pan she put on the wood stove and cooked in that until it got gas and oil and stuff. Her husband, he had a store there and sold good dry goods and stuff to the community, and shoes and all of that stuff. And the mail came to the house, not the house, but to the store. They had the mail, people would come there and get their mail. And so he act as a distributor for mail. After the mail, a man brings the mail to the store.
Okay.
He was a big time gambler.
My grandfather too.
He gambled in the woods to people.
Okay.
The boat captain would come there, send word that he would be in the neighborhood. And so that particular time, that they would go Saturday night and gamble because the store is closed on Sunday. And they gambled. He had a still, and he made beer and wine. The revenue people, they would come, people would come in the area, but he would know, talk to the people and stuff like that. And when he talked to them, find out who they were, and send them on their way.
Right.
But they had a way of signaling other people, like whoop.
Right.
They call it whooping.
Right.
Yeah, and they whoop. And they didn't have no telephone.
Right.
So they would know. And that's the signal thing. But some people may be greedy, and I guess the darker skinned people sort of want the money and didn't want to pay attention. And so they got caught.
Right.
But he had a big still.
Okay.
He had one. That once you come, if you on the road passing and you turn into his plantation where he's living at, they had a big gate, a heavy chain on it. But they had something else that you could pass through without dropping the chain. So, you know strangers coming. The dog is already moving. He's just listening to quietly that you know that somebody's coming.
Right.
Before you know it, the folks are at the gate. You drop the chain, that's a stranger. He's really getting wild then, the dog getting wild on that. So, they get to the front. There, on the front porch, you go out to the porch. There's a level up there the door is right behind you. There's a gun. You struggle. You go back inside, there's a gun over the door and over the windows. So, you know, you're living out there.
Right.
So this is, you learn to shoot.
Okay.
You learn to shoot, learn to listen, and all of this stuff. So when the boat captain man comes in, they go in the woods and sit. They didn't want me to know because I was too nosy.
I was going to say, well, how'd you find out?
But I knew what he was doing, but he wouldn't let us see where he was going.
Oh, okay.
So he would go off in the woods at nighttime in Atlanta. And there we go.
Right.
$30,000, $40,000 in
the
woods.
Whoa.
The captain bought his people, his children, land. As far as you can see in Ethel, Louisiana, going further up on the 19, I think it's 19 or whatever road that is. As far as you can see, that's the way. He bought it. No question, that was his children. He bought it. You know, so this one here, Good Time Paul, he didn't. He hid his money and died with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He hid it in the woods. And also, anyway, he didn't do anything with his. But he loaned money out to the people when the crops didn't come in.
Right.
It didn't come in. He loaned the money out. He could count in his hand. He had a good memory. I tell you, if it was 2 years ago, he could tell you all that day what you bought there and what you talked about. They had good brains. Mine's not that good.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother used to be. She remembered so many details from people that she'd worked with and things that had happened like 50 years ago.
That's true.
And I was going to say, and my memory is not that good, so I was really impressed. By how much she could retain.
Well, that's like my father. My father, the most black people, and not so many of them, back then, you couldn't write things down. So you were a witness. And so you told a story like way back and way before he was born. It was told to him, the stories of who married who, when and where. And so, so many people talking and knowing all these things. So when it come down to me, he was getting me stuff. But my other cousin said, you ought to get a tape recorder and record all this stuff. I didn't. And I'm sort of like last names and who was married to this and when they died and all. We all are witnesses.
Right.
And see, and so when Roots came out, our folks had already been doing that.
Right.
That they go all the way back, way back, and where they came from and all this stuff. Just telling a story.
Right.
And so we have many relatives here that you'd be surprised to know. Can tell some of the story, but we're all, they're about my age, and we can't, I can go back a little bit and tell your last names and where they were living at and all this other stuff. Yes, but I can't do all that.
Right, yeah. So how big was the community that y'all lived in with, you know, I know you had your farm and then neighbors.
Well, the way his dad, my grandpa, dad set it up, it was just wherever he wanted to be, he had all the stuff that he needed, and the store and stuff. And since that time, about maybe 20 years ago, they burnt the store down to make sure that it was not, saying that it's not there. Okay. That was some of the, on the other side people.
Okay.
Some white folks. But truly, if I look at it, the ones who did that, they don't belong to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because when my mother's stepbrother got married, he married somebody from Ohio, and she already had a child.
Mm.
And from him, he had children, and that's who's living there, is the step people.
Okay.
Children staying there now.
Okay.
Because they didn't go back and really take care of anything, they just left.
Mm-hmm.
See, after his wife died, he just came to the city and just was here.
Mm-hmm.
He died, you know, so, mm-hmm. He possessed the woods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my grandmother, she was the best cook always, who win prizes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And most people out there are, especially the ones that come from Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
they can really bake.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, they can really bake.
All right.
Yeah.
And so did she teach you how to cook, or did you learn just by watching her?
By watching.
Okay.
By watching. Because she tells me, I used to want to whip the cake up, like
mm-hmm.
beat it. But she said, oh no, I started already with my right hand. You're left hand. You can't make it, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. Because I would mess up my cake.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And she had the best tasting cake. I tell you, don't buy a donut cake. That's sort of dry. Mm-hmm. Darnax cake. You know, mm-hmm. they got big paper in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She did that and I was doing, they have a potato house out there. So the potato house has got a roof on the side that on an angle like this. And he would climb up on that and slide down on like the slide.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a piece of tin that was turned up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I came down the wrong way on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I cut my foot right up under the other little toe.
Yeah.
I tell grandma. And I was walking barefoot.
Uh-huh.
And we got ready to go to the rodeo. And we're going to walk up to the rodeo, which was about maybe 4 miles, but we, you know, you can walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, where my shoes? Put your shoes on. I had a big purple under my foot,
mm-hmm.
under my toe. She didn't know, what's wrong, why you can't get the shoe off? She looked, oh, I had been walking around in the dew.
Yeah.
And all I got in it was my feet, but didn't tell, mm-hmm. because she could have taken care of it.
Right.
Oh yeah, she and my great grandmother and another lady, they sat there. And it's a Sunday, have we come from church, and that's at like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Like my sister, brother, and friends, they walk into the pond out in the pasture way out there. They gave me something, and they're sitting there talking and yah 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 and all of that. Before you know it, I'm going to sleep.
Hmm.
All I know when I woke up, the cat had a tail, bobtail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they did. Didn't feel nothing. All I know, all that stuff is gone.
Really?
And you can't see today where I have cut at.
Wow.
So I woke up, I didn't feel nothing. And I was walking on my foot. Walking, putting it down, walking. I didn't hop.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, are there things that you like to cook or liked to cook for yourself or your family?
Oh, I like to fix my, I treat myself fine. and my family. I love the shop, mm-hmm. for food. Can I get fresh food and stuff like that? Fresh food and vegetables, you know, so for a cheaper price, and you get the stuff when it's fresh, mm-hmm. because most vegetables are sweet. Mm. And if you get it later, like corn, and it's almost the end of the season, mm-hmm. they have made 3 or 4 parts off, getting ears off the corn. Mm-hmm. So now you look at the corn, it don't have that milk in it, and it's dry. So you don't have that corn, it's dry. So when you're looking, you sort of like, you look at it and see it got the milk in it. White corn is much better than yellow corn, for us. And so, anyway, I would get up at 5 in the morning, fix my breakfast, fix the kids' breakfast and stuff, put it on the table in the dining room with a tablecloth, set the table, and let them eat. This was every day except Saturday. That was my day off. I'm going somewhere. So anyway, I would do that, fix a vegetable, meat, salad, and dessert. They ate that every day. Except Saturday. Sunday I cook, and it's like family dinner. You drop over and got the big spread. So they have geese, a goose. Goose, have you ever eaten a goose? A goose is sweet meat. It looks like a turkey. It's like a turkey, but it's expensive. It don't have that much meat on it. It's almost like a duck. I've got a lot of grease on it, but that's okay. You know how to pull the grease off. And I pull the grease off on 5 feet. You got to stay in there. Pull the grease off and then cut it down and season it good. And bake it. So I do whatever kind of crab meat on a gratin. You name it, I did shrimp with broccoli and my secret ingredients in it. They liked it. It says they love that. And then I did my soup. With my secret ingredients in it. And they come, put the shrimp in it, the rest of the stuff.
So did your kids ever help, as they were growing up, did they help in the preparation in the kitchen?
No. They go. My kids, when they were going to school, got old enough. Oh no, I'm late. Come on, eat breakfast. Okay, all right. It took me a while that they hold another lot. I can't fuss because they gone.
Right.
And finally I start fixing breakfast. Now I can take them to school.
Right.
We have paying practice. Yeah.
So where did you used to shop for your
My meats was Grand Dixie on Harrison Avenue. Also Garnett's on a Thursday. Also, who else? Casey, no. My hook lawn, I got it from Bell Store at Eatonshire Field. But I bought it when it was cheap. So like 50 or some cent a pound, got that. They had long bulls on Diamond Road. They really spoiled me. That's how I was living out there in the 60s, early 60s. Whole chops, 4 pounds for a dime.
Wow.
Frozen vegetables, frosty, acres, 16 ounce pack. 7 foot down. And it'll be a freezer. Rolls and stuff, got all it. T-ball states and stuff, got that. And all but some I just would get the big piece of meat and just slice it. We have steaks and stuff. Anyway, I didn't spend that much money on that. If I spend this cheap, it's cheap though. But then, like, I was having something, and over at Mr. Hayes at on Harrison Avenue, he would keep the stuff. Like, I saw that crab meat was cheap. I said, I'm over there and keep this stuff. I said, Mr. Hayes, could you keep all this stuff for me? He said, yes. I said, oh, thank you.
Nice.
That's what I was getting ready to get all that though.
Right.
I don't know how I was going to fix all that stuff. I didn't have all the places that I wanted to have, you know, all those things. Now I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. Oh, yes. You see, like now you go to Zapato's, of course, he's got this big piece of meat, $76. You go there and cut that stuff up, you know, what steaks cost?
Mm-hmm.
It come out cheap.
Right.
Go in there and you wrap it up and put it in the freezer, stack it up, and you look again and see something else
right.
that you want. But in the 80s, I started taking my cousin to. She called me and said that she was hungry. And could I help out? I said, oh, yeah. So I came up there and brought her to Winn-Dixie in a bend up around the river. And in the bend of Carrollton. Winn-Dixie used to be there. And I brought her there and brought her some food. And all I said, look, when the stamps come in, I'm coming. And I am going to bring you to the store.
Okay.
I did. She thought she was smart by taking something out, but I was a little bit smart too. And I'm going to say, well, how I fix your knees? You got these slick on me. But because her husband would take the stamps himself. And most black men did that.
Yeah.
Take the stamps, sell them, take the money. And be gone. That's their boyfriend. And he got two or three girlfriends.
All right.
No car. But if you got one, they'll drive it.
Right.
So anyway, I even went home her husband Jeff because he would borrow the money on Wednesday. Borrow some of the money and on Friday you don't hear no money.
Right.
I went and told people, don't give him no money.
Right.
Let him bring all that he can't get drunk earlier. Told the man who I was. And so those kids, I started with the poke line, had that piece of meat, the back end of ribs cut off so she had ribs. She had pork chops. She had a roast. And some of the meat on it. Because I got it big enough to grind it up a little bit and have the little pieces of pork. And then so she had those four meals, five, something like that. And I had gotten the sirloin tip, apron, had that cut and diced and all that kind of stuff, stew meat and ground meat and all of that cut up. And so she had the meals for that too. So by that time I had a big freezer. And I told her, I said, Nate's, she got a refrigerator, giving me stuff for the week. Now, if I'm not here, your basket is over here, this is yours. Outside of the freezer. So she did that, and I, wait a minute, Denise, is that food on Wednesday? You have enough.
Right.
Her children running out there playing. They weren't just fighting and stuff like that and all. They were happy children. Because I told them, don't go to that playground. Do not pick up a dollar, $5, $10. Don't pick it up. It's not yours. Leave it there. Because you see, the drunk people, you watch. You pick up that $10 or $5, you're spotted for the police. Mm. And so you let them know when the police come. Mm. And see, so anyway, Denise, what's happening to all this food up here? You had enough in here. Alphonse said he had too much fruit. He tired of eating pickles. He tired of eating all this stuff. You see, when I put it on, when I placed it on the table, mm-hmm. Denise, I mean, said, Alphonse, now, hurry up and eat. Come back, place more stuff. Eat that. Mm-hmm. Come back, place it, all the little goodies and stuff like that. And that.